So sing hard, darling, hum at least. Music divides us from beast. It's a tale as old as time. So sing hard, child, unleash your rhyme.
The tabloids love you.
Welcome to Hype, another special. We've got two members of the Muzzled crew with us today. And if you're wondering what Muzzled is, don't worry, we'll explain that to you in a second. My name is Lena. I've got Pam here with me, and I have got, do you guys just want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Jason Charles Miller. I'm one of the producers of the show, and I am the songwriter and composer of the show.
And I'm Maxwell Glick, and I play Damon in the show, which is awesome.
Awesome. And I suppose just before we do anything else, the show, Muzzled, we should just briefly explain to our listeners what that is. Do you guys want to just do that yourselves? I mean, I could just make up something, but you guys know it better than I do. Or maybe the kid in Disneyland wants to chime in.
Yeah, maybe. and, you know, also,
Jason, you do it.
So Muzzled the Musical is a crazy, fantastical musical that I like to say it's a cross between Mean Girls, Wicked, and the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else described it as a cross between Glee, Mamma Mia, and American Horror Story. So I'll take both of those, but my elevator pitch usually is, what would happen if Prince Charming and Sleeping Beauty, when they ride off into the sunset, what happens when they have kids and they're all jerks,
right?
You know? And so it centers around, sort of the team. That's awesome. Ooh. I just heard the train whistle. It centers around the teenage sons and daughters of kings and queens, and but also supervillains. And our main character Malfalia is the daughter of the evil queen, but she secretly wants to be a princess. And the rules of this universe are that if you are a royal, if you are a prince or a princess or a king or a queen, you're allowed to sing. If you're and music is power in this universe. Songs are spells. So if you can sing, you have a huge advantage over anyone who can't sing. And all of the Blackhearts, who are considered bad guys to the royals, they're not allowed to sing. And they have a magical muzzle tattooed on their neck. And that prevents them from singing. So that's the struggle of Muzzled, are people that can't sing who want to sing, and people who sing but abuse their power.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was well said. I am one of those Blackhearts who can't sing, so I've got the muzzle tattoo on my neck. So I guess we have to find out, well, the audience has to find out if they ever get to sing.
Yeah, they'll find out.
Max, we're talking about you. Let's talk a little bit about how you got involved with Muzzled, and maybe more specifically, like, how did you get into this whole quote-unquote web series gang of people that you guys just keep doing stuff with each other?
Well, I actually I auditioned for Muzzled years ago. this project has really taken years to come to fruition, and oh gosh, it must have been, when was it, Jason? Do you know when the first round was?
About three years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 3 years ago, I auditioned and got this role of Damon, and we actually shot a Kickstarter video that never saw the light of day.
the current Kickstarter video that we did last year is the second Kickstarter video that we shot, because the first Kickstarter video, we were days away from launching it, and a company approached us and said, "Don't launch that to Kickstarter. We can get this thing made for you." sign with us, and you know, we've gotten all these TV shows made, and we might even be able to get this on TV for you. So do this with us. And so we foolishly believed them. Uh-huh. And a year later, nothing had happened. So luckily, within that year, though, we were able to kind of fine-tune the project, add some other cast members to it that sort of strengthened the overall, I guess, visibility of the project, and renamed it, and then launched it to Kickstarter, like a year and a half later. So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt, Mac.
Yeah. I think now in its current state, it really worked out that it didn't happen 3 years ago, because I think the product is so much better now. And it really felt like when we were on set and then actually getting to see the final product, I don't know. I feel like it can be one of those really special things. And it's the timing, it's the people, I feel really good about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but so was this before you did School of Thrones, or was it like around the same time?
It was before. We started it before,
yeah.
And then
my original audition was before School of Thrones. Oh yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's
so
funny.
A lot of the School of Thrones team. So the original creators of Muzzled are Zach Grafton and Matthew Mercer. And then I was sort of the third one brought on to do all the music for it. But while we were waiting and going through all this corporate rigmarole trying to get the show funded, they got anxious and made School of Thrones in between.
Yeah, yeah.
Then this is going to happen. So it's kind of cool that a lot of the same team worked on School of Thrones, and that we had met on the early inception of Muzzled.
So that makes more sense why it's such a similar team, right? Because so many people came back.
Had already known each other.
Yeah.
You guys also mentioned, like, when you were giving us your little spiel about what this is about, that people have compared it to other things. So, Max, specifically for you and your character, did you draw inspiration from anything when you were preparing to play the part, be it like a film or a classic fairy tale villain or what have you?
You know, honestly, I really didn't like draw it from anything. I just kind of made them based on what I was given in the script. And then I don't know. I don't really know how much I can even say about my character.
Right. Because I was going to ask you, because we've seen the first episode. We got early access, guys. Oh, my gosh. We feel so special. Yeah. And it was amazing. But is it too much of a spoiler to ask if you get a bigger role later on?
I don't.
I mean,
how do I answer that, Jason?
Well, let's just say Max is in every episode, and there's definitely something that happens that might
could potentially lead me to having a bigger role.
Yeah. Okay.
We love the teasers on this show. This is great.
I was just gonna ask, like, how, because I know you had a screening party recently. How did that go?
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, that went great. To see it, we actually showed it three times throughout the night. And because the first three episodes are about a half an hour long total. And all three screenings, to see the reaction from the crowd, and they laughed at the right places and they reacted at the right places. You know, it was a really great thing for us to see that, and all to know that all the hard work that we did, like, okay, yeah, this is really great, like, people are really going to respond. So
yeah, that's like the first time I watched it, it was just us, the cast and crew, and then the second time it was for everybody, and I watched more of the crowd that second time, so I could see the people's reaction.
Was there anything that, like, either you guys were, like, particularly surprised by seeing in the finished product, or that the audience reacted to in a different way than you sort of expected them to?
Yeah, actually, they cheered in some spots that I didn't realize that they were going to cheer in. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Like, you can't really say what this is really difficult to talk about something that no one has seen yet.
It is.
But I mean, obviously we can't really not talk about Juliet Landau and her involvement. I'm sorry if I'm not saying that right. I was like trying to Google a pronunciation really quickly, but it didn't work out that well. How did you get her involved, and do you think, like, how does has it sort of helped your visibility? Has it been a cool thing?
That actually was, I have known Juliette Landau for quite some time. I originally met her through her husband, who's a photographer and is a close friend of mine, named Deverell Weeks. And she and Deverell, my old band Godhead, they directed a Godhead music video in 2008. And Juliette was in the video with me, and we just remained friends and have a good relationship. And so when the project was coming about, we thought she would be perfect for, you know, the black matron, the queen of the black hearts, like who better than Drusilla?
Uh-huh.
So that was like a natural fit, and she loved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's awesome. And, you know, it's so cool about working with her too, is that, like, we're like, oh my God, we're working with Juliette Landau. And she was like talking to me and Mary Kate, you know, Mary Kate Wilde.
Uh-huh.
Mary Kate and I are like a duo in this, which is really neat. But Juliette's talking to us and asking us about our careers and like our YouTube channels. And we're like, you're Juliette Landau. And you're asking us about like, and she was so nice. Like, what a cool thing. You know, she was great. So awesome to work with.
Yeah.
You brought up like YouTube, and that's really interesting because in comparison to like Max, like when you started with the Lizzie Bennett Diaries, like YouTube has gone so much more mainstream. So how has that affected like what you guys do now since you're so heavily involved in web series? Like, do you feel like the word is out more than it used to be? Is it less of a niche audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, gosh, Lizzie came out 3 years ago. So yeah, I mean, it's grown a ton. I think that there's so much more being made just for digital, and it's really starting now to get the respect that it deserves. It's not quite there yet. I mean, like, there are still some of the old mainstream people that are fighting it, but it's a losing battle, because especially with how good the content has become over the last few years, I think more and more people are starting to see that's where it's all headed. And, you know, for us to put out Muzzles when you all get to see it and you see the quality of it and see, oh, wow, this is actually better than pretty much everything I've seen coming out of TV even lately, you know. But, it's pretty incredible what we can do in the web world. So,
yeah. What's the scope of Muzzled? Like, how long do you see it going for? How long is the first season? Are you doing more seasons?
Well, you know, so when we did the Kickstarter campaign, we asked for money to make 3 episodes, and we met our goal, and we got a little bit over our goal. I think we got like 110% of what we were asking for. And what we want to do now is we're going to put the 3 episodes up ourselves, and then we've been meeting with a ton of people, but we're kind of running into the same issue that we did the last time. It's like everybody, you know, when you get into these meetings with these corporations that are like, you know, let's talk about this web thing,
right?
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, anyone can, like, people can say yes all the way up the ladder, and all it takes is for one corporate dude to say no, and then you've wasted time, money, momentum, everything in the process. And so what we've decided to do is we're going to put this up ourselves and let the 3 episodes live as kind of a little mini story. It's sort of like a arc. Are you still with us, Max?
Yeah, that was weird.
An arc of what's to come, and then we're really going to, you know, grassroots work it. I mean, luckily we had 1,100 backers on the Kickstarter campaign. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's your grassroots team right there. And then, you know, we're so proud of this thing. We want the world to see it. And so we're not really going to wait any longer for any of these corporations that keep dangling the carrot in front of us, because that's what – that's what stopped it from coming out and us making it in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's going to live as a work of its own, and then hopefully the demand will be that people want more episodes. I mean, we put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this, and our souls into it. But so as a work of art, you know, we stand behind it wholeheartedly, and of course we want to make more episodes. But at the end of the day, it is on a practical level, on a business side, it does take place in a sort of medieval fantastical world with heavy special effects, and you know, a lot of people that pay for those kind of things, as far as on the business side, you know, they're like, well, how much is it going to make? Cost us to make that when we can do a web series with somebody sitting in front of their computer for $5.
Yeah.
You know, so no matter what, people are going to get to see these three episodes. And if it leads to something else, I mean, it already has, without really revealing anything, you know, in some of the meetings that we've had, they love what our team has done so much that maybe they have another project in mind where we can use the same team but tell a different story. So a lot of those things are happening behind the scenes now too. Obviously, we want to make more Muzzled episodes, but if we can do something Muzzled-ish or use the same Muzzled team and the same cast and the same crew to tell a different story in a different universe, you know, we're okay with that too.
That's really cool that because that's actually another thing I kind of wanted to talk about with both of you, really, is how do you sort of try to marry this online thing, which sort of exists as part of the industry but completely separate from it at the same time, with your sort of more quote unquote, what shall we say, like mainstream career, and especially I guess for Max, like you've obviously done some network television work, but you've also done a lot of this online stuff. So how does that sort of transition?
Does it transition? That's a good question.
Yeah, does it transition?
Well, you know where it's transitioning? It's for people that have like millions of subscribers on YouTube.
Right.
Which I don't have. So, you know, they're starting to make like little like independent movies, you know, with YouTubers that have millions of subscribers that aren't even necessarily actors. Uh-huh. That are just like vloggers. Which
right.
is, you know, I get it, you know. But yeah, the crossover isn't necessarily there. Like if I go in for, let's say, a guest star on whatever, Law and Order, it's not going to cast me because I did the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Still, it's like those older type shows are not really thinking about the web still. They're starting to look at, you know, the subscribers and your Twitter followers and all that. But me being on Lizzie Bennet didn't lead to me getting on any TV. I like, you know, that was all myself, totally separate.
Uh-huh.
So I think that certain casting directors know what's going on the web. It just depends. It's weird. It's a weird time right now.
Yeah.
So the whole, like, shit my dad said model really is the exception still rather than the rule, you know. It doesn't really happen that much that a network is like, yeah, let's make a show based on this, you know, internet thing.
I think all that is going to shake itself out, you know, and like Max said, I mean, you know, someone that has millions of YouTube subscribers, you know, they're getting offered acting roles and shows, but I think that eventually the people in charge of television networks, and even now, they're becoming more wise to the fact that, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe this person has to have talent in order for this. And I'm not dissing
no.
YouTubers with millions of subscribers, but you know, at all, you know, because people subscribe to them for a variety of different reasons. But
I
think that, when people put out more quality work, that will eventually, people will take notice of that, especially people in the industry. I don't think that the web will replace television, but it's just it's another avenue of entertainment.
I think content is content today. You know, it's not like I really feel like we are shifting toward that. There's no like the web is not going to be the minor leagues anymore. I mean, it's just content and if you're 10 years old, I mean, there's no difference between TV mm-hmm. and internet for you. It's all content. So, and that's really cool.
And that's kind of like a thing that I think I wanted to bring up as well, is that obviously the money thing is one thing, obviously, but in terms of getting a fan base and in terms of producing cool stuff, like we're looking at a show like Muzzled and going, first of all, those guys looked like they had a hell of a great time doing it, but also just it's a great experience. It's a great thing that you can watch and you can enjoy and you can sing along, you know, and that versus something on TV, like you said, Max, like it's comparable to mm-hmm. stuff you see on TV and even surpasses some of what you see on TV. So just in terms of you guys putting stuff out there and knowing that people are going to see it and are going to like it, you know, that's still there.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing to get the instant feedback from people online and to have that fan base. You can't get that in the old media. So it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
And who needs a mansion? Sorry.
I've got about 5 minutes left here. Mm-hmm. So then I got to run.
Okay. Well,
I'll let you know.
Yeah, well, you can say whatever else you want to say to the people. But we also just want to ask you, because obviously this is a pop culture show. So we talk about current pop culture events and stuff. So we really just want to get, before you go, what's inspiring you right now, currently on the air or movies or anything that you sort of are particularly creatively inspired by, if anything?
Well, I got Jason here with me, so I guess I could talk about the Disney song we wrote together.
Yeah, and you're at Disneyland, so you better say something.
They're listening, yeah.
Disney always inspires me, and especially for this year, the 60th celebration, I had this idea for a song, and I talked to Jason about it because I know he was an amazing songwriter, and we got together and we wrote this song called Magic in the Air.
Ooh.
And it's a real rockin' family friendly anthem about Disneyland. And we wrote the song, recorded it, and I shot a video for it here in Disneyland, and it is up right now on a channel, Mr. Cheesy Pop, and the response has been really wonderful. People have written to me and said how it made them cry, and I've had people send me videos of them singing the song, and it's really neat. Yeah,
awesome.
It's pretty
cool. That's really cool. Yeah. Wow. Well, congratulations on that, too.
So, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. So we're just I'm still trying to get the word out about the song and the video, because it's so hard to do that and cut through the, everything else online.
Of course.
But it's been going good. And people really love it. Everyone that hears it and sees the video loves it. So it's pretty nice. And I couldn't have done it without Jason.
Oh, that's nice. Do you have anything else you want to add before you run back to your fun or your shoot, I guess?
No, thanks so much for having us on here. And, hopefully when everyone gets a chance to see Muzzle, they like it as much as I hope they will. And just to check out the song that Jason and I did together.
Yeah, you can check that out right now.
On my YouTube channel.
We will put a link to it, for sure.
Yeah, now I'm going to go make a video. Here, I'm doing a video today in Disneyland all about Halloween stuff, pumpkin-related things. And
that sounds awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much, and hopefully talk to you again some other time.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Bye.
Bye, guys.
See what happens to this call when you hang up.
I think if he hangs up, we're good.
Okay, that's fine. We're good. Okay, so we've just got you now, which is great because
sorry about that.
Which is kind of no.
It's actually exciting because, as Selena knows, I'm the resident music junkie.
Yes.
On hype. So I always have a lot of questions about people that are in the industry. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that if that's cool.
Yeah, totally.
And I guess the first thing I always ask people is like especially with something like this, what comes first for you? Was it the storyboarding and the episode ideas, or was it the music that goes along with it? Because you marry the two so well in the first episode.
Thank you. Well, really what it was that So the way I got involved in the project was, so Matthew Mercer, one of the producers, is a friend of mine that I know through the voiceover world, as well as being a musician living in Los Angeles. You kind of have to do like five different things in the entertainment business at all times to make a living in this town. So I own a recording facility with five recording studios in it. And I've also been a voice actor for the last 14 years, even though I've been a musician performing in front of audiences since I was five. Every element of this business has its ups and downs and its feasts and famines. So if you just have to have a lot of fingers and a lot of pies and a lot of irons it going in the fire all the time. And so a lot of people in this town know me just from the voiceover work that I do. Other people know me just as the studio owner. And then a ton of people know me just as the musician. So through voiceover is how I met Matthew Mercer, but he also getting to know him as a friend, he then knew about all of the music stuff that I do. And when they had this idea for the musical, he brought over his friend, Zach Grafton, who he co-created the show with and who was the head writer of the show. Actually, I think the only writer for the show. And they said, look, we have this idea for a musical and we'd love for you to write the songs for it. And funnily enough, like since we started on this project, I had the opportunity to write a song for a Disney musical, and it ended up being a massive hit. So it was kind of everything kind of came together all at once, and I'm starting working on this musical with them. I get brought into a co-write for Teen Beach Movie, and then ended up co-writing the big hit for the Disney musical, Teen Beach Movie, called Cruisin' for a Bruisin'. So before that, I had never written any songs for any musicals. I've always just been a songwriter for myself or other artists or songs that get placed in TV shows and movies, but mainly as background or as like montage songs. And then I start on this web musical, and then I end up writing for like one of like literally the biggest company that you could write a musical for.
Uh-huh. It's so funny that things always happen, like, you know, all at once, all of a sudden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I was like, just rambling there, but
no, but that's awesome because it's like, it's such a cool insight into what goes down. And I'm living out in LA as well. So it's like, even like it, regardless of what aspect of the industry you're in, like it is always very similar, but also different at the same time. So I totally resonate with that.
Yeah.
And, but like specifically from like a writing standpoint, you kind of talked about how it's like completely different from what you've ever done. So like, what was the most challenging aspect for you when you sat down to write it all?
Okay. The most challenging aspect was, okay, in musicals, for most musicals anyway, and it's not that I had zero experience being in musicals, because growing up in Virginia near Washington, D.C., I did a ton of community theater and high school theater, and, you know, I acted in musicals. So I was a musical fan and was aware of how every song propels the story along. And if it doesn't, then the story just kind of sits there until the song's over. So in the web, you want every song to propel the story forward. Every song has got to make sense as a song, but also make sense within the parameters of the story you're trying to tell. So I'm sitting down with Zach, who is a screenwriter, but not a songwriter. And the most challenging thing for me was to do just that, to know that, okay, what do I love about musicals and what do I think don't work about musicals? And what I think doesn't work is if the song is too long or if the song doesn't propel the story forward. So what I needed to do was sit down with Zach, who is not a songwriter, and figure out what he wanted these characters to say, but do it in a short, concise manner that gives you enough of the song so that you can hum along, but doesn't drive it home like a 5-minute pop song or something like that. And so really that was the biggest challenge for me, was to write songs with somebody who wasn't a songwriter, because he would say, okay, well, I want her to say this, 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 and this. I want him to say this, 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 and that. I want her to say that and that. And I'm like, okay, that's great, but I have 4 bars for them to say 80 lines of dialogue. So let's figure out a way to make it work.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh. I can only imagine the revision that went down with all that.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely did. Writing for the web specifically, and not for theater, and not for television, and not for movies, at least for now. They may all blur together as they already are. But for now, when someone's watching web content, more people than not are not sitting on their couch watching it on a television. A lot of people are, but most still aren't. So I knew the songs needed to be shorter, and because the episodes were going to be shorter. And that was a concern also, because there have been some web musicals that I've watched where the songs are just way too long and they hit too many repetitions and you kind of run off the rail. So I wanted to make sure that that didn't happen either.
But one thing that I sort of noticed when watching the first episode, first of all, like, it hooks you in with the song straight away, but there's also this... Oh, is that a spoiler? It's so hard. There are songs, spoiler alert. But one of the things that I thought was so interesting was the way that you managed to stay in this, because obviously you have, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, you have this juxtaposition of these princesses, like pink princesses, you know, and this more rock, sort of hard rock, dark, gothy characters, and marrying those two styles of staying true to the very sort of musical la 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 bird chirping vibe, but also getting that hard rock vibe into it. Like, how did that come organically, or was that something you had to work hard at?
That really came organically for me, because I'm a rock guy, and right. So my favorite musicals are Rocky Horror Picture Show and Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Uh-huh. So if you're going to hire me, you're going to have a rock element no matter what. So for me, that all came naturally just as I was writing the songs. And then I would write all the songs with just an acoustic guitar. And then as I was building the tracks, I just kind of naturally gravitate towards that rock format. Now we've got keyboard players. In episode 3, I had the good fortune of bringing in Tina Guo, who's one of the top cellists in the world, but just happens to be my friend. So I'm like, hey, would you play on this one song for me? It's like a minute and a half, you know, and luckily like the timing worked out. She's Hans Zimmer's favorite soloist. So like, she's the cello anytime you see Black Widow in like Iron Man 2 and stuff like that. And she's the cellist in all the Sherlock Holmes movies. But just, you know, living in this town and being able to convince a friend to do something really quick, I guess, has its advantage. Yeah. So all of the songs started with a rock format, and that was sort of their basis of the production, and then growing out from there. And that's just how I write.
Wow. That's really cool. I think it's really interesting to see, because obviously we've been on Hyperbole. We follow these web series, you know, we follow the evolution of them, and just to see how they've evolved, both in terms of production value, but also just in terms of content and in terms of bringing in more people. Because that you say, like, there's, or Maxwell kind of said, there's not really a blending from the online world into the quote unquote, like,
mainstream world,
but there is a little bit of a blending the other way. Like, you do see sort of these mainstream people doing musicals, you do see or web series, you do see some people sort of bleed into it a little bit. And that's, I think that's really cool. It sort of speaks to the quality of what's going on.
Yeah. You know, and I think that the blending will continue. And I think once companies take chances on talent as opposed to pure numbers, you'll see more web stars in more mainstream positions. And you do now. It's just that, like you said, like, there have been some failures along the way. such as shit my dad says, not really translating
right.
You know what I mean? And so what happens is you've got these guys in charge of these major networks that are – you've got them for 5 minutes. And the next time someone tries to pitch a web – something, a web idea into a show, they go, well, what about shit my dad says? That didn't work. Next. You know what I mean? Even if it has nothing to do, even if it has nothing to do with that, you know, or it's completely different. They're like, well, we're not going to do any of that web stuff again. But eventually they're going to – eventually it's going to come around. And I mean, it already is. You know, you see web personalities hosting shows on TV now, and that, you know, that's slowly becoming something. It's almost like sometimes that people are sort of honing their skills on the web for prime time. But as Max said, it's not really the minor leagues anymore, because there's some major, major productions going on the web. As long as you can get your media to people, I mean, that's where everyone lives. And, you know, everyone lives online now, and the trick is just getting their attention. I mean, that's really the trick. And that's where like a good marketing team comes in, because there's so much quality content out there and none of us have the time to watch it.
Yeah. You kind of drown in all of it, you know?
Yeah. And then we have clickers, not remorse, but like click fatigue. We've got click fatigue, you know, it's like, I'm not going to pay attention to a web ad. I'm only going to pay attention if two or three of my friends tell me how great something is, you know, and most people are like that now, because we've got sensory overload of things to watch. And like, as a musician, as on the artist side, for me, I'm no longer competing with other musicians and other artists. I'm competing with them in addition to I'm competing with a cat video that somebody's going to click on.
Right.
If I want you to hear my new song or watch my new video that features my new song, and I'm asking for 3.5 minutes of your life, are you going to click on that? Or are you going to click on, you know, a BuzzFeed 21 reasons why you should look at this top 17 list?
Uh-huh. We're all competing with each other online. That is kind of the big problem. Yeah.
And so, but I think it's shaking itself out. You know, it's slowly kind of, things are working themselves out. You know, it's just, we're just in a really interesting time for that, because I think ultimately that no one wants their time wasted, you know, and if they can trust that, I know that this channel only puts out quality work, or I know that like this group of tastemakers are only going to tell me about stuff that I'm interested in, then I think that as people discover that, the quality will rise to the top. But it's just taking some time.
Right. Yeah. Of course. I mean, the transition, and with Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff, it definitely is like a transitory period, I think is the right way to say that word. But it sounds like, though, that you are really enthusiastic about it. And I guess, I mean, it sounds like to me that you've had a bit of experience with the mainstream industry, and it's a little bit, I mean, for an artist like yourself, like you say, you have to wear so many hats at once just to make it work. So it sounds like it's a little bit frustrating. And I don't know if this may be totally my inferring, but it sounds like a project like this is a little bit more freeing in a way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Not really having any parameters other than my other fellow writers and creators, and not having some random corporate dude telling me yes or no, or, you know, we need to have
right.
this.
Not all don't those execs, yeah, giving you notes.
Don't forget to mention Sprite in the second episode, you know, or whatever. That part's really cool. But I'm sure there will be other. I mean, every day I work on projects that, you know, have very specific parameters too. So it was nice to have that break for a little while, and you know, things like this will come along again. You just have to just keep pedaling, you know, keep pedaling that flying bicycle, and just hope that you're still flying.
Right.
Jump off the cliff.
But this is definitely this web series industry is definitely something that you will keep working in if you have the opportunity. Or
yeah, and I have and I've been able to for some time, and it all kind of started with I got hired by Felicia Day to write a song for season 4 of The Guild.
Oh, fun.
And that's what got me into all this. There's a song called Game On.
Yeah. Oh, you wrote that?
It's like a bop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I co-wrote and produced that with Felicia Day and Sandeep and then two of the guys from my team. And that's sort of what got me started in the whole thing. So then I've done theme songs for her new channel. I wrote the theme song for Co-Optitude, Craft Lab, and they have a show on their Twitch side of their channel called Critical Role, which is a Dungeons & Dragons show. I wrote the theme song for that. And then I've also done music for her Flog show. And then from there, there's a show called The New Adventures of Peter and Wendy on another show. And I wrote the theme song for that, too.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of this cool network that I have of working with different web people. In addition to, I'm currently producing the new album for Billy Ray Cyrus. So that's very mainstream. So it's fun to kind of, well, what am I going to be working on today? Okay, you know, for me, it's all music. So knowing that there's an audience for all of it, I apply myself the same way each time. And it's fun because it keeps life interesting and you never get bogged down in one thing or in a rut, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure. I was going to ask Pam, do you have any other questions? Because I know you have to run if you're still
here. I do have to run. I think the biggest one that I had was the inspiration behind everything, but you answered that so well. So
great.
What basically I wanted to ask you on as well, I'm going to extend the same, you know, you can tell the audience whatever you want, as Maxwell did. But I also want to just ask you again, because going back to this whole pop culture thing, obviously you are mainly on the music side of everything. So maybe we should stick to that and just ask what music inspires you at the moment? What things are you working on yourself? What trends are you excited about? Stuff like that.
Okay. So specifically, there's two albums I've been listening to a lot lately. One is by a songwriter out of Nashville named Chris Stapleton, and it's an album called Traveler. And Chris, I have a lot of respect for Chris because I don't know him personally, but he started as purely as a songwriter. So he wrote a lot of songs for like current huge country stars, like Kenny Chesney and Luke Bryan and guys like that. But then his roots are a lot more blues based. So when he puts out his own stuff, it's his own flair to it. And he's one of those songwriting chameleons where he knows if he needs to write a song a particular way for Kenny Chesney or Tim McGraw or something like that, he can fit into that mold. But then he can completely switch gears to do exactly what he's inspired to do. So I've been wearing that album out lately.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other album I've been wearing out is another end of the spectrum is by an artist named Jason Isbell. And his new album is called Something More Than Free. And he's one of those guys where he's got a very specific sound, and he has sort of created his own path. He used to sing for the Drive-By Truckers, and now he's a solo artist. And he's kind of not really swayed from anything and has just sort of traveled this path and carved out this own sound that is just unmistakably him. And I love that about him too. So, and what was the question beyond that?
Well, that was what inspired you, and just what kind of things are you excited about happening in the
music?
Oh, yeah,
trends, right. Mm. One of the things that I'm excited about too is the fact that so I'm a huge country music fan, and one of the things that excites me about country music now is
that artists like Chris Stapleton and Jason Isbell can and bands like Blackberry Smoke can sort of rise above this corporate sound. Because there's a certain, if you turn on, I don't know how it is where you are, but I know like here in the US, if you turn on a modern country station right now, every song kind of sounds the same, and every song kind of fits this one.
I thought that
parameter.
Was just because I was foreign that I thought that.
No, it's happening.
Country music friends.
Yeah,
yeah. It's become like the new. It's just this weird sort of homogenized pop music now that all sort of sounds like the same song, and people, you can go on YouTube and someone took 6 country number ones from 2014 and mashed them all together. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing. It's on YouTube. You can find it. So people are taking notice of that. Fans are taking notice of that. And that's why more unique artists are popping out and kind of breaking the mold. Like there's another artist named Sturgill Simpson that really tips his hat to old school country, you know, to the Outlaws. Mm-hmm. And that's what's exciting for me, is that artists like that can break through the corporate machine and still find success. So as an artist, that's what excites me, because I'll never be able to compete or fit into that corporate mold.
Wow.
So there you go.
That's really cool. And I want to just finish up just briefly by asking you about your own music, because I think a lot of our listeners will probably be coming into this from the web series side of it. So they'll be really excited to learn about that.
I'm just about putting the finishing touches on the last few songs on my new album, which is going to be out in March. But, I've put out 3 albums as a solo artist under Jason Charles Miller. And then, before that, I was in a pretty heavy rock band called Godhead, of which I was the lead singer. And, we were really big, like in the early 2000s, we did the Ozfest. We toured with Marilyn Manson for a year. We toured with bands like
it's that little thing.
We toured with bands like Linkin Park, Disturbed, Rammstein. And that's just, that stuff is in my DNA. Mm. You know, Godhead was my baby for like 15 years. So if you like industrial rock, definitely check that out. And then if you like more kind of organic, southern rock, country, kind of Americana kind of stuff, definitely check out my solo stuff, which is under my name, Jason Charles Miller.
Right. Wow. That sounds fantastic. We'll put in a tiny, less than 30-second sample at the end, if that's okay with you. We can show it off a little bit.
If you want to link, I have a probably my latest video that I'm, you know, proud of is one called Here to Kill the Pain.
Uh-huh.
So if you could check that, maybe put a link to that.
Of course. Definitely. We're always, I mean,
from my last album, but it's a video that I put out last year.
Yeah, we'll put a link to that on Twitter and in the show notes and anywhere we can. That's really exciting.
Oh, and the video was directed by Sean Becker, the director of The Guild. So,
connection.
Little trivia.
Cool. It's all connected. Seriously, that industry, like the sort of from an outsider's perspective, it's so cool to see, like, there's the mainstream industry and there's the indie industry and then there's the web industry, and you're all connected to each other.
Yeah, and of course Sean directed Muzzled too, so like
it's all just the same. It's becoming the next thing, because I know we have some listeners who, and I know we want to wrap it up now, but I know we have some listeners who are like wanting to make their own web series and wanting to, and I actually had a question on Twitter saying, how do I break in to the web series industry? And I thought that was so funny, like such a funny way of putting it, because that's like a quote unquote industry now.
yeah, that's crazy.
So I just want to finish up by just asking if there's anything else you want to say, and of course plug away whatever you want to talk about, projects that you're doing, and also just remind our listeners of when and where they can see Muzzled.
Okay. Well, we're still deciding a release date this week. So we're actually going to make a decision on Friday when we're releasing it, but it looks like we're going to put it out next month, because we want it to be kind of in that Halloween going into holiday season for people to check it out. Mm-hmm. And
by Friday, I'll have all of this.
Well, we'll probably put this out Friday, so we can always just email Aaron and just clarify it for the notes.
Yeah, because what we're going to do is the School of Thrones YouTube channel. So we have a company, the production company behind School of Thrones and Muzzled is called Will Save. So we're going to relaunch the School of Thrones channel as the Will Save channel and then put Muzzled on that channel. So if you're a subscriber to School of Thrones, you will already get Muzzled in your feed immediately. And that's all going to happen. I think we're going to launch it October 19th, but I need to I'm probably speaking out of turn right now. But we've definitely made the decision. You know, one of the things is after we made it and after we had the screening party, the same thing – and I mentioned earlier in the interview, but the same thing happened. Like a lot of these companies are sort of coming out going, hey, maybe we want it and all that. But we're going to put these three episodes that we made, we're putting it out ourselves because we owe it to – the backers, and we owe it to ourselves to put this out, you know, and we're going to let people discover it. And like, I'm 90% sure it's going to launch on October 19th, but I have a meeting Thursday and Friday about it. So,
okay. Well, the good thing about this is I can edit. So if it turns out to be wrong, then I can just edit it out because we're releasing this Friday. So we're okay.
Cut it out. Yeah.
You could just say like every date and I'll just put in the
October 20th.
Yeah, there
October
you go.
21st. No. yeah, but what you can say is that it's going to come out next month, and you know it's hopefully going to be, if you're a fan of web series and you're a fan of this cast and if you're a fan of the team behind this, you know, you shouldn't be able to miss it. Like, just start searching for Muzzled the Musical the middle to the end of October.
Yeah, and you can find it on hypeable.com, which is, of course, where this podcast will go up as well. We'll post a link to it and everything. So
perfect.
There'll be plenty of ways to find it for sure.
Okay, and when my new album comes out, I'm going to be bugging you for an interview again.
Of course. That'll be fun.
One other thing that I'm working on, too, that comes out in January is – so I'm producing Billy Ray Cyrus's new album, and that comes out in March. But in January, his new TV show comes out. It's called Still the King.
Uh-huh.
And some of the music that I'm producing for his album is also going to appear in the show Still the King, which is going to be on the CMT network. And it's a single camera comedy show about a down and out country singer turned Elvis impersonator / preacher.
Wow. That sounds like the best pitch ever.
It is really hilarious. It has a very My Name is Earl kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. And Billy Ray Cyrus is the star of the show. And I'm really excited to be working on it because it's really well done, funny comedy.
That sounds great. That sounds really cool.
I think there's like a preview online too, so if you just type in like CMT Still the King, mm-hmm. you can find that and like post the preview as well if you want to.
Absolutely, yeah, we'll do that. Pam, do you have anything else before we wrap this up? So much cool stuff. I just want to keep asking about your career.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say I will be happy to interview you about your music when it comes out because that's my jam, no pun intended. Like, I love
awesome
music stuff, like I'm there, so we'll okay. definitely be in contact with you because we'd love to have you back on. And but yeah, I mean, like, overall we really, both of us really enjoyed the first episode of Muzzled, so we're really excited for all of our listeners to check that out too, and I know that they'll be interested in it as well because it's right up their alley. So
absolutely. So I guess just to round off the podcast here, thank you so much to both Maxwell, who is at Disneyland right now, but we appreciate having him on, and to Jason. He's working, but at Disneyland, you know, so it's cool. That's so awesome. Appreciate him taking time off from his actual work to do this podcast. Jesus. We will, if you're listening to this, of course, all the stuff we talked about will be linked in the show notes on hypeable.com, which is hypable.com. And we'll also be posting some stuff out to Twitter. We'll let you guys, which is also @HypeableHype on Twitter, and we'll let you guys know when Muzzled is live, and we'll be posting some stuff about it on Hypeable too, so check back to that. And do you want to plug your Twitter real quick here at the end?
Sure. My Twitter is at Jason C. Miller, and then all my other social media is at Jason Charles Miller. It's just Twitter won't let you have a long enough handle. I mean, thanks a lot, Twitter. Can't have my full name on there. But like Instagram, I'm Jason Charles Miller. Facebook, I'm Jason Charles Miller, all that.
Cool. So. And Maxwell is Maxwell Glick. And Muzzled, is that Muzzled Musical? Is that right?
Some of it, it's Muzzled Musical, and then some of it, it's Muzzled the Musical. And, you know, if people want to see a preview, they can go to muzzledthemusical.com and press play on our Kickstarter video, because the interesting thing about our Kickstarter video is it is a musical. So I wrote a song about how we didn't have any money and how we need you to give us money.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of like a bonus song for people to watch and check out to kind of give you the spirit of what Muzzled is all about.
Awesome. Yeah. It's really good.
That's really great. I actually saw that too. Cool. We'll put a link to that. That's great.
Awesome.
Cool. But thank you so much. And, to our regular listeners, we'll see you next week for a regular show. And, yeah, that's the end.
Okay, bye, guys.